I wasn't going to make a point on the submission because I think Herriot is probably best well known, is the one who knows best about the systemic discrimination in financial related benefits, given your briefing paper, and in terms of adding to the knowledge of that base. I know you had your inquiry today. The point I wanted to make related to three suggestions I would like to make to ask the Herriot inquiry to take on board. But before I do so, I would just like to recognise how moving and how difficult it can be for the people who brought their personal stories today. And I do congratulate you on that, because it is difficult. We have difficulties every day in our life, and to add to them by coming towards a formal inquiry, that can add to your burden. There's the whole point of the inquiry is looking at the financial related benefits. One challenge I would make to the inquiry is to expand your broad brush approach of the definition of the terms of reference and include the financial disadvantage of being in same-sex couples and so on, which is the indirect cost, we've heard about tonight, about challenging in the courts, the indirect cost of going to many a Medicare appointment, most often where other people could be able to sort it out over the phone, which means you take a day off work, which means you have to get childcare if you've got children. The indirect cost we heard recently of just before of the immigration situation, which where the best parallel is with non-legally married couples in heterosexual relationships. In the argument about that same-sex couples are discriminated against, it is said they are treated the same way as de facto couples. That may be the case, but it costs you a lot more to prove the same thing, as anybody who's been through the situation would know. In terms of the if you were looking for the evidence base of the indirect cost of being in same-sex couples, you could apply to the organisations that have given you submissions already. But my completely anecdotal suggestion would be, in most cases, it's at least a third, if not a half, again, the cost of taking on any of these situations. The one situation in which I think that we tend to be treated the same is by financial institutions and mortgage brokers who, hey, it's still a dollar. We still want your money, and they don't have a problem generally, except when you walk through the door and look a bit different. But coming back to the Herriot inquiry, I would ask you to, I recognise your terms of reference may not actually be very broad, but I would ask you to address the question of financial disadvantage, because where you are dealing with systemic discrimination, you cannot just deal with one area of our lives in isolation. We have all heard tonight about that it is multifaceted, it's multi-layered, the systemic discrimination we face. I applaud the approach to try and deal with financial-related benefits, but they're all affected by the other social attitudes as well. In terms of the suggestion that I understand what you said about putting up a report to the government and then, hey, if it's too hard, they may have a fallback position. But without any disrespect to yourself, I do think that in the current climate, if you give fallback positions, those are the ones that will be taken. If you really want to challenge systemic discrimination, we all have to say, this is not good enough. This is not how we want to live. This is not what our society wants. And our rules of law should reflect our society, not our society reflect the rules of law. The other suggestion I would make to Herriot, having done some, I have some background knowledge myself of the cases that have been supported, is that there are very, very few example of cases that have been taken to a full hearing in relation to same-sex challenges in many a situation. Sometimes they are financially related and sometimes they're not. And in many situations it is because it is felt that the case is not strong enough. Support can be not given, or they fade away because the law is difficult. It's put in the too hard basket. My challenge to you would be to think differently, that if you are challenging systemic discrimination, not isolated cases, not small situations, but systemic discrimination on a large scale, that you actually have to discriminate in favour of the people who are being discriminated and put more of your resources into supporting those cases, into perhaps giving more of the assistance that is needed by less knowledgeable solicitors, barristers, advocates, as we've heard tonight, and other people who are trying to challenge the cases. Having said that, I do recognise that Herriot is one of the leading organisations that does support this issue and support cases going on. But we do know that one of the problems is that unless the law is shifted at the case law level, then we don't get the attitude change. We don't get the parliamentary saying, we have to watch this. And I'd just like to make emphasise that situation is that many people say it's no point using the law. In our society, they say it's no point using the law. The case law doesn't help us, or you're getting too legal. It's pedantic. You have to change attitudes. There was a reference tonight about the British situation being improved by attitudes there. Don't be fooled. The change in the law that came about in England came about at the last minute from that government knowing that they would be taken all the way to the European Court and lose in many a situation. So there is no disadvantage in challenging at every level of the legal process, but we have to look at it as a multifaceted challenge and not deal with isolated issues. Thank you.
Thank you very much.